Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to gift the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Angel Crane from Stamford, Connecticut. I listen to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 368 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is... returning from a month in Florida,
I wish.
Michelle Scribner McLean. Hello, McLean.
Hello, Scopa.
How are you?
I'm well. Here in New Hampshire, we're about to get some more snow, so I'm wearing my pajamas inside out for the possibility of one more snow day. Hate to say it, but it would be nice. Because you don't have to make them up in college. But, we might get a late or first day of spring. We're recording this on the first day of spring, so heavy, wet snow. Yeah, and like a few days ago, I was 82 in shorts.
That's what you get for coming back.
I know. I was warned not to come back.
Also on the show, our choice for Artist of the Year, Chris Eliopoulos. And Chris will give us his song of the... his chosen song.
I thought I'd go weird with What's the Frequency, Kenneth by R.E.M.
I love that song. What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Rapid Eye Movement.
Do you ever hear this? The story behind that song, right?
I do know the story behind that song.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, me too.
Look it up.
It is.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, Mike has to look at who R.E.M. is. He just said Rapid Eye Movement.
There's no rap in this
Michael
one.
Michael Stipe.
Michael Stipe.
Yeah, but look up where they got that what's the song? Title. What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
What's the Frequency?
Kenneth.
Yeah.
It's an old song. Like
It's very bizarre, though.
What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
The Frequency, Kenneth?
Oh.
Question mark.
Boy.
There used to be a song called Open the Door... oh, never mind.
All right. Anyway, can I do a shout-out? Yeah,
I think I know someone who's going to get a shout-out, but go ahead.
Yeah, I got to put What's the Frequency, Kenneth back on my running playlist. So this shout-out is to a duo who is now a trio. It is to Melissa and Joe Pardo of New Jersey, and they just had a baby girl, and her name is Ava, and... they just
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Mike is looking up What's the Frequency, Kenneth. This sound distracted. But yes, they just had a baby and we're really excited for them, and
babies, no sleep for
babies
you.
Are so cute, but yes, they're not going to get any sleep for a while, but they're very nice people, and that is going to be a tall baby because they are both very tall people. So, yes.
Yep. All right. And from what I understand, the baby already has a podcast.
The baby has a podcast.
It's called Baby Dreamers Podcast.
Oh, Baby Dreamers.
Baby Dreamers Podcast.
Oh, that's so cool.
The first guest, I mean, already had episode one. Yeah. There was a baby, I think it was Baby Billy.
Uh-huh.
And so Ava asked Baby Billy, what's your dream? I want to have dry
Diapers.
Diapers. Yeah, so it's really something. I mean, it's just captivating, captivating. Anyways, congratulations to Melissa and Joe, and many more to come.
Yes. Awesome.
Many more nights of sleep or many more kids?
Forget the sleep, Joe. Forget the sleep, Melissa. So, you know, Chris, you and I have been
Mike.
Laboring the last week or so while our friend here has been, sunbathing and rubbing elbows with talking mice and talking ducks. So maybe we should, and I know that during the course of Michelle's vacation, there were a couple of things that she and I were talking about, and so maybe it's a good idea for you and I to ask Michelle just what she did on her vacation and talk about some of the things that she discovered.
What if I don't want to talk about it?
You have no choice. Okay. So I'm going to let Chris start off with a question about your vacation.
Do you want to just go in order? Do you want me to tell you?
No.
I'll give the first question.
All right.
How was the watermelon salad that we discussed?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Okay. So I went to
Flower
Garden.
See previous episode with Deb Wills.
Deb Wills, which hasn't been released yet when we're recording this. But yes, it will be released by the time we do. So yes, it was at the Urban Garden, which is sort of, let's see, if you're coming from Future World to World. Yeah, it's kind of near Canada. Yeah. So World Showcase, and you're going towards the kind of the right towards, as if you're going to Canada. It's right about there. And they have a little urban garden and what you can grow in an urban garden. And, it's really nice. So that was the one food that I had twice because I liked it so much. So it's watermelon, arugula, feta cheese. There was some balsamic vinegar.
Reduction?
Yeah, like a reduction on the top. I want to say there's one more watermelon. It was really delicious. In fact, I asked the little chef there, the chef
little
guy.
Chef, was he like 4 foot tall?
Yeah, little. I asked him, the young chef, I said, is this popular? He said, oh my gosh, we just can't keep up with it. It's so popular.
I could have sworn that's been there since 2013. I thought I had it.
Really? I don't know. I also there had the white bean and non-witch, they call it. I had that on the second day I went to Flower and Garden. And that was really, really yummy too. I took a few bites and I'm like, not sure if I like this. And then I kind of get into all the ingredients at once and it was just fabulous. Mm. And the other thing that Deb recommended that I just went straight out with the Deb Wills recommendation as any smart person would do, which was the peach... not a champagne, but it was sparkling wine. And it was, I do not like super sweet wine. It was just like, it was like champagne with just a hint of peach in it. It was really, really good. I went back the second day, tried to get that again, and they were sold out. And their substitution was key lime. And that was not good. I would not recommend that at all. I would not get that again. But a kind of a funny story. I was waiting for some friends to show up, and the wind was so intense on that night that it actually blew over my key lime wine, and they brought me out another one.
No, thanks. It's okay.
Yeah, my key lime sparkling wine. So anyway, but that was by far. I mean, I didn't really get much at the other kiosks. It's 1/10 of food and wine, but that one I would go back, and it was just delicious. And for me, that salad, the portions were a good size too, and that salad and that naan, which were all I needed for dinner, so it was really good.
What was the cost?
$6, I think, for the naan, which and I want to say $5 for the salad. It was really good. Yeah, for me it was really filling. That's all I needed.
I remember years ago.
It wasn't a teeny portion. It was a good size. I mean, it wasn't I usually eat a cup of salad at a sitting. Not too much, and it was plenty. It was really yummy.
I eat a couple of salads.
Yeah, you do. You eat a lot of salads.
what about the Grand Marnier push up?
Oh yes, so I had that too, and I had that on a day it was 70 degrees. Well, interesting. This is an interesting story. I don't know if I told you this. So I was with a colleague of mine from the university, who is her mother was French, so she's bilingual, and she started talking to the French girl who rung up my order, and she did not. She said that the people working in the kiosk did not work for Disney, and she did not have favorable things to say about her living and working environment. So she was very unhappy with the situation. But anyway, so they actually talked for about 20 minutes. But meanwhile, I got my Grand Marnier push-up pop, and it was about 85 degrees that day in the hot sun, and it was not a good choice.
Yeah,
you could
melt it all over you?
You could not eat it fast enough. It was not like solid. So it was kind of like, you know, kind of saucer? Granular. No, it wasn't. It was just like not completely.
Down.
It broke down really quickly. So the sticky stuff got all over my hands, and Pat got one too. Got all over her hands, and so it was good. I don't think I'd get it again. It was okay. I would rather get a slushy. So yeah,
it's amazing that, you know, you talked about how they ran out of the that peach sparkling peach wine, whatever it was, and I'm wondering how they figure out how much to have. You would think that they would, you know, really have a tough time keeping everything there and not run out. I remember when the first year at Food and Wine where they had the grapefruit beer and they ran out.
Mm-hmm.
They ran out like with a month to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it must be hard to figure out how many of any one item they'll sell. First off, if it's a brand new item, you don't know how popular it will be. So
I made the silly mistake of asking the cashier if it was any good, and she's like, "Oh yeah, it's great." But of course, how would she know what I like? And I said, "Is it too sweet?" She said, "No, it's not sweet." But it was. So yeah, kind of tastes
well, maybe
like
for
medicine.
Her, it's not too sweet.
Yeah, maybe.
So Michelle, where'd you stay?
So my friend Pat has an off-property timeshare, and so it's off of 192, and it was really interesting because it was a two-bedroom DVC, and when we drove in, they said, "Welcome home." So I was like, "Oh, I wonder where they got that." So
original.
It was
not my home.
You know, it was clean. It was huge. So it was two bedrooms. We each had our own bath. There was a living room, dining room. There was a kitchen, of course, and you know, with all the stuff in there. And you know, it was there was a porch that was screened in. And it was fine. It's not Disney, but the interesting thing was that, you know, I was there as a guest, but she did tell me how much it costs per night. And take a guess, you guys, how much it costs per night for a two-bedroom, two-bath, kitchen, living room.
Where was it located?
So it was off of 192, but I was using the Waze app to get around, which I really like, and it was zipping me towards the back roads, you know, the back entrances and the side entrances of Disney, so it never took me longer than about 15 minutes to get anywhere.
Was it Kissimmee?
Yes.
And was it near the road that goes up to Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Sherburn.
Sherburn Road.
Sherburn Road, yeah.
I have no clue.
What would you... I mean,
200 a night.
I was going to say 250 a night.
So it was about 225. You were both close. But for two bedrooms.
But I'm under, so I win the Price is Right. So
yeah. But I mean, but you know, the thought for me was there's a family, you know, this could have probably slept 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six people very comfortably.
Well, I thought you were going to say six families.
No,
that was big.
No, but you can see how if people wanted to save money that.
Yeah,
getting a you know, and it was a timeshare, but people can rent in there. It was clean, it was quiet. It wasn't Disney; didn't have the Disney magic. Everybody who worked there, who I encountered, was very nice. Everybody I met, and you know, taking the elevator or walking up and down the stairs was very nice. But you could see how that would be something that could make a Disney trip possible. You know, on the other hand. I didn't have to pay the $20 a day to go to the parks because I have an annual pass. So, you know, there are other hidden costs in other places. I didn't worry about extra magic hours. I wasn't eligible, but you could see how that could make it something that's affordable, and it's really just a hop, skip, and a jump from Disney. Now, I rented a car. You wouldn't have to do that if you're on Disney property, but, I mean, what could you get for $225 at Disney? We're not going to get that much space, so just something to think about. Just kind of interesting.
So what did you do on your first day? Did you see any friends? Did you eat any special place?
So my friend Pat does not like to go to the... She likes Disney. She likes Orlando, but not as much as me. So she doesn't have an annual pass. So we kind of each had our own rental car. So we kind of did our own thing sometimes, and then we were in the park sometimes. So the first day, Mike, it's become a tradition when you and I go down together, which is where do you think we ate?
I'm going to guess you went to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
And you went to have some sushi at Splitsville.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we met our running buddy, Angel Ramos, who just got a job as a Disney security guard down there. He's a police officer in Puerto Rico. He moved to Orlando. Nice guy. I'll tell you, I had to convince both Angel and Pat that the food at Splitsville was good. Now, Pat is used to fine dining. She said, "You're taking me to a bowling alley to eat? Really? Really?" So the first thing that she was impressed with was that now the new on-ramp to the smart parking garage is open. So the orange parking garage, you can go right up onto the on-ramp, and I was showing her how you can see exactly where to park. Chris, have you seen this yet?
No.
And the smart parking. So you go into the parking garage, and at the end of the lane, it says... actually, before you get in, it shows you all the different levels. It tells you how many parking spaces are in each level. So, like, I went to level 3, and it said, like, 20 spaces. So level 4 had 132. So I went up there. Mm-hmm. So you go, you know, you don't even bother with level 3. Went up to level 4. And then if you look at the ceiling on each row, it tells you how many spaces are available. So 0, 7, 72. So you go to the row that you want to, and then you turn down that row, and above the parking space is either a green light or a light that's off. So if it has a green light, there's a parking space there. And so you can go directly to this. You're not driving around and around and around.
Right.
And there were some false starts. I went to one, and there was a motorcycle, and the green light was on, and I went to another one, and there was a Mini Cooper. But other than that, she was very impressed. And then you walk out, and you're at on one side or the other of AMC when you're at that parking garage, which is where Splitsville is. And they did not have sushi like I did, but they were really blown away by the quality of the food. It's just really, and you know, it doesn't smell like a bowling alley. It doesn't smell smoky and you know, bowling alley-ish. It was just, and the service was great. Somebody from Massachusetts served us.
I really think that of all the restaurants down there, they are the most versatile.
They have outside seating if you want. They had somebody playing a guitar.
Be it sushi, Chris. So if you like sushi, it's great. If you like pizza, it's great. If you like seafood, it's great. If you like burgers, it's really amazing how, and I can't. And the salads. I mean, everything in there.
They have these
is,
rice bowls too, which I had
when
I was
there. Yes,
that's
what Pat
had. Are really great.
It's amazing that, like you said, Michelle, you say Splitsville. It's a bowling. Well, I don't want to eat a bowling alley,
right.
But it's a bowling alley. It's a bowling alley to me. It's a bowling alley second.
Right,
good restaurant for us.
Yeah. So you know, and getting back to the parking garage too. I don't know about you guys, but I always felt a little bit of angst going down to Downtown Disney with the parking because I thought, I'm going to have to drive around and around and around. I was in and out really, really fast. And in fact, later in the week, we went to the movies and it was just, you're right there at AMC when you park. So the other parking garage isn't done yet. Now, the crowd levels were a lot more, but... but there's more to do. And so after dinner, we walked over. I wanted to show Pat the boathouse. So we walked out and sat at the bar there. And actually, we just all had soda water or something like that. But it was just a lovely, perfect night. And it's really, it's a destination now. Like, I want to go down there. I don't I feel like there's stuff to do. So
what other restaurants did you eat at this vacation?
So the next day, so I was trying to make plans so that Pat didn't have to pay park admission every day. So, but although the next day we did do the park admission, we went and met a cast member friend of ours who works for Disney Weddings, Karen. And we met at Sanaa, and I put in a request because Pat had never been there to sit by the windows. So we actually got there about half an hour early, and I took her. She'd never been to Kidani Village. I took her out to see the animals. There was a guide from South Africa there who was just fantastic. We had lots of talk about giraffes and stuff like that. And then we came in, and again, she didn't know what to expect. Karen, I don't know if she had been there before, but they were all blown away by the food. Now, I thought the food, Mike, I don't know what the name of what I typically get is, because you go often with me, but it's basmati rice, and then you get to choose two things to put on top of it. So I don't know how much it is for dinner, but for lunch, it was still $26, which I thought was a lot of money for lunch. So we had a cast member discount, so that was okay, but the food was great. We could see the animals. I love going there for lunch. You know, you can get reservations easily, and they were really pushing the bread service, which I know, Mike, is a favorite of yours. But we said no bread service, and we actually all ended up getting desserts, and we got different desserts. So I had Pat had the trio, and I had the chocolate mousse, which is fabulous.
I'd get the bread service instead of the desserts. That's how. Oh. That's how.
You're Italian. What else are you going
to
do?
Yeah. Chris, have you been to Sana'a?
No, look, I have such a picky family.
Oh, they don't like Indian food?
They don't like anything. Yeah. If it doesn't have chicken nuggets or a burger, we're screwed.
Well, here's a way that you can get Audra to go. There's a really charming bar there.
Yeah.
Not that Audra's going to
She doesn't try any new foods either. It's the same thing. They get it from her. So
the bar is, it's little, but it's, we've met Phil and Eve Vanderpool there, and it's nice. It's a nice little bar, and it's just very charming. It's worth going out there just, you know, Mike, I know you're a big fan of Kidani. It's just a really nice, it's a smaller version of Animal Kingdom Lodge. There's a little lookout area.
I've stayed there, and it's really, really quaint. Yes, very nice.
So that's always a must-do. And then from there, we popped over to Flower and Garden. So that was my first time at Flower and Garden, where I first got the watermelon salad. But it was just, you know, Karen made a really interesting observation, because I think I might be off by a few days, but Flower and Garden now is 92 days.
Correct.
And so, you know, we were there right at the beginning. It was gorgeous, and the topiaries were great. But she said, you know, the flowers we're going to see now are completely different than the flowers that you're going to see at the end of May when it ends. So, you know, because things just are going to get burned up. So it's, you know, if you're a local, or if you're going more than, actually, I'll be going more than once because I'll be going to Star Wars, you may get a different experience revisiting Flower and Garden. So it was great.
Right.
And the topiaries were great. And, you know, Deb predicted the one that was the most interesting and the most spectacular, which was co-sponsored by the National Park Service. It is a National Park Ranger Mickey. And on the back is Chip and Dale kind of getting into a picnic basket. And it's where the, if you know Epcot, it's where the cranberries usually are for food and wine. Mm. We had a kind of a hard time finding it, but because we kind of just went around different ways. But it was just a great. If you follow us on Instagram, I posted a picture of Mickey, and it was great. And I sent it to two of my National Park Ranger friends, and they thought it was awesome too, because it's the 100th anniversary of the National Parks. So it's
wow.
The hashtag Find Your Park is being used.
By neat.
Them, so. Yeah.
So that. How was the crowds?
There were a lot of people. Yeah. So I didn't go down there with the idea that I was going to go on a lot of attractions, but especially right. in the Magic Kingdom, lots and lots of college students. It was spring break week for a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you go over to Hollywood Studios at all?
I did. On my last day, I went, and that was a big crowd. I made a fast pass for... Oh, actually, one day I went to the Magic Kingdom, and I couldn't get any fast passes that I want. I think I got Splash Mountain, which is my favorite ride ever, but I got Autotopia, which I haven't done in years, so I did that by myself. I was in the park by myself, but I think I've had enough of that. Like, I'm good for another 5 years, but I went to, at Studios, I went to the Great Movie Ride and did a fast pass there, which is great.
Have you been in there since they changed it over to VoiceOver?
I have, and I actually was there, even though I did Fast Pass, I was there for maybe a different part or a longer part of the pre-show, and it's kind of growing on me, to be honest with you. At the end, I was telling Mike, at the end of the whole thing, they have a new kind of, you know how they do the video montage? And then you exit and you're just about to get off. There are all sorts of screens that sort of, I'm not really not sure what the point of it is, but there are like, I don't know, 8 gigantic screens that show you just little still pictures of all the movies you just saw. So, yeah. So
maybe that's another thing with the wristbands. Maybe they're going to be setting it up for personalization or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
So, Michelle, while you were there, did you notice anything that was different from, like, previous experiences? Was there anything changed that, you know, you may you want to mention to our listeners?
Yeah. So, again, as I said, I was trying to find some things that were not in the parks so that my friend who doesn't go as much could enjoy them. And one of the things that we met up for, I was in the Magic Kingdom in the morning, and then we met up for tea at the Grand Floridian. And, Mike, you know that that's one of my favorite things to do. Chris, have you ever done that?
Never.
Oh, okay.
Is it good?
So, it is good, so, but it's changed, and it kind of made me sad. So,
in what way?
Before, it used to be something where you went in and... there were just only like 3 or 4 different choices, and there was a choice where you could have champagne and then, you know, different courses and then the nice tea. And they still have all that. There are a lot more versions of it. There's actually a version, Mike, that one or two versions that's like $150 or something like that. But I got the $50 or $60 version. And the reason to me that it was worth that was two things. Number one, I had Tables in Wonderland, so that would knock 20% off the price. And number two, that the experience was a very, you know, you sit down and you kind of get ready for a kind of a long experience where they would, you know, bring you your tea, and then the first course was cheeses and fruits and nuts and things like that. And then the second course was you know, some scones, and that there was another course where there were little finger sandwiches and things like that. And then finally the last course was desserts. And so they took our order, and they brought everything at once. So instead of, you know, making this long kind of really fun experience where you're getting lots of little different courses, and they would introduce the course and kind of, you know, talk over, you know, what you were eating and things like that. They brought it all at once. And
was it busy at that time, or was it just, no, this is the way they do it now?
It wasn't busy. They brought this gigantic kind of, you know, plate holder, and we were in a little tiny table for two. So Pat and I actually had to lean to the left and lean to the right to talk to each other, because everything, all of our food was there. And the other piece of it was that the amount of tea was less, like the teapot was a smaller size. So now it's a shorter experience. But then we get to the end, and I said, okay, you know, here's the bill. Okay, I have Tables in Wonderland. Well, we don't take that anymore. Oh, okay, well, I have annual pass. We don't take that either. How about Disney Vacation Club? No, we don't take that either. So in October, they did away with all the discounts for the tea. And we had a great time. I'm not going to say we didn't. It was very, very nice. But it just made me kind of sad because, I don't know, it used to be a little bit more special and a little bit less money.
It was an event.
Yeah. You know, I wore a skirt. You know, everybody, like, mothers come with their daughters. People come to celebrate. Families come to celebrate birthdays. It just seemed a little. And I know, Mike, you like it, too. What are your thoughts on the changes there?
Well, I think you can put this in the column of the Money Hungry Mouse list of things that are happening as we go along. Obviously, and I talked with Len about this, and we both agreed.
About the tea?
About the tea, and he was surprised about it. And we both talked about it, and Len Testa, of course. And
from the unofficial guide?
Yeah, from the unofficial guide. And Len and I are, I mean, we both, right off the bat, we knew why this was being done, because we had talked with other manages in other establishments, and what they always try to do is they want to please the customers, but they want to turn the tables around as quickly as possible. So, Chris, the olden days when we would go and they would, you know, it would be a nice, relaxing afternoon kind of.
It would take at least an hour, like an hour and
about
a half.
An hour, maybe an hour, 15 minutes. Now it's probably less than an hour. So, so think of it. They can turn the table around and maybe 15 minutes faster, maybe get one or two more iterations of that table through. So, so every table, let's say, is it's an $80 revenue stream. So if they can get two more,
we paid $60 each, so it was $120.
So, so let's say $100. Yeah. So that means they can get $200 out of every table. And if you've got 20 tables, you know, do the math. That's an extra $4,000 or whatever it is a day. So again, this is just another way of someone figuring out how to. And on top of that. On top of that, they had the gall to take away all the discounts. So how can they? And we'll do a show in about a month on Tables in Wonderland and whether or not that's worth it. But I mean, it was really, when you told me that, Michelle, it was really, I felt badly about it because I felt badly about Pat. Because
we had a great time. Honestly, we had a great time.
Not everything at once.
No, I know. And one of the things that, you know, was kind of lost in translation was they bring out these little finger sandwiches. And, you know, in the past they've said, oh, you know, it's like a cucumber sandwich or blah, blah, blah. And I know that there's a meat, you know, there's like a chicken curry thing. So I've had the opportunity to say, oh, can I substitute and have like another egg salad instead of the chicken curry? Well, they didn't even ask that. So it came out and I had like this chicken curry thing. And so I had to say, oh, you know, I don't really, we just ended up switching sandwiches and that's fine. But I don't know. So would I do it again? Yes, I probably would, but it's not going to be something that I do frequently, which I, you know, it's going to be a treat for maybe once every few years.
And it's obviously something I wouldn't want to bring anyone now because I don't think they would enjoy the meal like we used to enjoy it. I mean, I can't imagine having enough room for everything to be on that table.
Yeah, I mean, even the
tables are small.
The little
tea?
Not the tea, the teapot's there, but the pudding, they have strawberries and cream. It's with the Grand Floridian logo on top. It's just, it takes up a ton of room. So anyway, not the end of the world.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
It always seems to be taking away the specialness of things for the money.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
So what did you do outside the parks, Michelle?
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention briefly, I know this is not our charter to really talk about other things, but I think with people who go down to Orlando a lot, it's important to know that there are other things to do if you want to try something else. And one of the places that I brought her that I had been before by myself, which was the Henry Lou Botanical Gardens, which is kind of on the other side of Orlando. So it's a hike, and it was a good thing we had a car. But beautiful botanical gardens, different ecosystems there. I thought it was really fun, and there's a museum there. And then we also went to Winter Park, which is really, really a fun little place to walk around. And there's something called the Morse Museum, and it has the biggest collection of Louis Tiffany stained glass windows and things like that. So what an artist he was. Chris, you might like this place. So lots of drawings, paintings that he did, but also the stained glass and the lamp shades that he did. And so it's the biggest collection in the world. So it was fun. It was good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
One last thing. If you're staying off the property and you have an annual pass, obviously you're not going to have a Well, they don't even give you those parking things.
Right,
in
right. I had a parking
so
thing for the place.
So usually you get scanned?
So yeah,
did you have any trouble scanning?
Nope, I have my annual. I mean, I have my my magic band, and half the time they didn't even scan it, but that's what they did. They actually just scanned my magic band, and they said, oh, your annual pass, you can go ahead in. So I did notice something I hadn't seen before about security, which is now, and I, you know, because Angel is training for security, I got a little more insight into this. Now they have metal scanners, and they randomly pull people out to go through the scanners. So it's just like at the airport. But he was saying that they don't, you know, they just take somebody out randomly. They put them through the scanner. They go back and take somebody else randomly. They just keep on doing
it. The last time I was there, they kept nailing me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It looked the part. Yeah.
I had the two kids and my wife, and they would always just nail like one of us.
Yes.
And then
we'd
all kind of stand there and wait, and they're like, "You don't have to wait here." I was like, "Well, we're a family."
Right.
So it gets a little, I mean, you understand.
I actually just stopped and watched what was going on a few times. I didn't see anybody who got upset. People were saying thank you for doing this. Yeah.
I wasn't upset, but it was sort of like somebody, like one of the security guards was just like, "Well, you don't have to be here." And I'm like, "Well, my wife is going through right now."
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I found that the other thing about security was that it seemed to me that, you know, sometimes you see people who are just security guards who just really, I wouldn't say check thoroughly, and some others do.
Yeah.
I found that everybody was sort of at the same standard of checking. You know, everybody was really checking thoroughly. So that was another interesting thing. So it's a necessary evil, but everybody. All the visitors I saw were completely okay with it.
Well, sounds like you had a good time.
I did. The weather was fantastic for March. You know, it was in the 80s, and I guess the week before it had been in the 70s. So,
yeah, and Chris and I had a good week too.
Oh, and I had green beer.
I worked.
I had green beer on St. Patrick's Day.
I worked.
Really?
I worked a lot. I didn't have that kind of food. I had burnt toast and a rotten egg, you know, for my tapeworm.
At least he's fed well.
That's right.
I had green beer on St. Patrick's Day. They were selling
it. On St. Patrick's Day. Because I had to work. What about you, Chris? Did you have to work on St. Patrick's Day?
I worked. I wasn't drinking.
Yeah, you guys know I work really hard. I deserved it. You can go down on your own time.
Well, thank you for that recap, Michelle. It was
riveting.
Riveting.
You're on the edge of your seat.
And no, it's at the same time, it's always good to do a review on someone's trip because some information is always provided that a lot of people don't know. And, excuse me, things like the, you know, what happened at the, Grand Tee or whatever. And,
Grand Floridian.
Yeah, the Grand Floridian and stuff like that. And I didn't even talk to you about, we didn't even talk about, you noticed the preferred parking, how that's.
Oh, yes, the preferred parking.
Maybe spend about 2 minutes on that.
Yeah, no, I don't know that it would take 2 minutes to talk about it, but they started implementing, at least at the Magic Kingdom, the preferred parking, which from what I understand is $35. So they have like a blue line that you follow, and they put a little tag, just like Universal. They put a little tag in your window. And again, I can't really speak to other parks because I didn't notice what happened at the studios. But at the Magic Kingdom, it just meant that you parked a little bit closer to the Ticket and Transportation Center. I was saying to Mike that if I had a kid in a stroller, I still probably would get on the tram because it was quite a walk. But it's kind of near the handicapped parking area. And $20 versus $35, I don't know. That just seems an awful lot. I mean, if I were going to Boston, I would expect to pay $35 for to go to a Red Sox game or the theater, but... multi-day. Mm. I really don't get it, and it seems very universal to me. It doesn't seem Disney to me.
So Michelle, if you pay that preferred parking fee on day one, it's only for the day.
I believe it's for the whole day in at any park that you go to because you get a little ticket.
Move over, Scrooge McDuck. Scrooge McMickey is here.
It seems. I don't know.
Don't get me started because we'll spend a whole episode moaning.
Mm-hmm. And we have to close this one because it's time to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own. Bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.